This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Uh-oh.
Guess what?
Day it is.
Guess what?
Day it is.
Houston. Let's get in the loop.
The question is, how do the people feel about this? 713-572-4610. Shout out to all the loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole.
With John Lopez and Landry Locker, you're in the loop on Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Well spoken. Wednesday, hump day, whatever the hell you want to call it. Shout out to all the loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole no matter what you do. Landry Locker, Wade Smith in for John Lopez. Figgy fig here. I can almost taste it. There's going to be some obstacles. There's going to be some hurdles. But I can almost taste the sports coming to us. 2 weeks and change till the Astros play. About 3 weeks till the Rockets begin their quest for a third championship at the bubble. They'll have their first practice on Saturday. They'll get on a jet plane and leave on Thursday to arrive there. Smitty, I'm getting a new vision. I'm getting a new perception, the way I feel with sports coming back. I'm getting a new appreciation. I'm getting a new perspective. There's so much going on in my mind right now, Smitty. I don't know whether I'm happy. I don't know whether I am reminiscing. I don't know what's going on, but there's a lot of emotions going through my head as we approach a potential sports buffet after this sportless world we've been living in.
Hey, man, it's 16 days away from seeing professional sports once again here in the city of Houston. You got the Astros are going to get back at it 16 days away. Like you mentioned, basketball is coming. You got the NFL going through their negotiations to try to figure out how and when they're going to play their games. But you know, all of these professional sports are on their schedules that have been made. Their schedules, once the schedule is made, you know it's going to go down, it's going to happen. And so you're getting excited. You know what I mean? You all your emotions are going in a tizzy. You've been about 4, 5, 6 months without actually having professional sports. And so you, as a true sports fan, you're feeling it. And I'm with you, dog. I'm excited. I'm very excited as well because we finally get to do and watch what we specifically love, and that's professional sports. And now it's coming back. I mean, we've been listening to or watching golf. We've been watching NASCAR and stuff like that that we probably normally would not watch. But now the big dogs are coming back, and once the big dogs come back, that's when you get to have the most fun.
And I think the beauty about this and the thing that just gets me so damn excited is that it's not going to be easy. There's going to be obstacles. Players are getting tested damn near every day. But the guys who want to be there, the players who want to be there, the Astros who are getting ready for the season, the Rockets who are hopping on a jet plane and going to unfamiliar territory in the bubble, they want to be there. There's going to be obstacles. You're going to hear about teams testing and stuff, but they truly want to be there. So in a world, Smitty, where it's easy to criticize the million-dollar athlete, it's easy to criticize the billion-dollar owner, I just want to sincerely say thank you. Thank you very much to the athletes who are going out there and providing us with something I think we need, which is sports, which is something to do at night, something to come together, something to have a healthy amount of hate instead of the real hate that we got going on in the world. These players want to be there. And the other thing, yes, these players are making more money than myself, Figgy, we could ever dream of. But you know what? They also, because of that, have the luxury of not wanting to play the game. So a lot of these guys that we're going to watch at the end of the month, instead of minimizing what they're doing, instead of saying, wow, this isn't a 162-game season, wow, you're resuming the NBA season, this is summer league, this isn't the resumption, why don't we just appreciate these athletes, appreciate that they're in uncomfortable situations when they could easily just go home and be comfortable, like David Price and these other guys, Avery Bradley, who've opted out, who it's their right to do that. I'm not knocking them for it. But when you talk about the love of the game, and you talk about what these players are doing and what these players are putting themselves through so that we don't have to go any more days without sports, I want to take this hump day. I want to take this Wednesday, Wade, to just say thank you to those athletes. I know that you're getting a check. I know that it benefits you, but you don't have to do that. You have the luxury of not doing that. From the bottom of my heart, as a sports fan, as someone who talks to Houston about sports, I want to say thank you to all the athletes out there that are going through what they're going through, including the Houston Texans, who we don't know when they're going to go to training camp.
Landry, you know what it sounds like to me, man? It sounds like to me that you can appreciate and you are appreciating those guys, those leagues, those players that are figuring out a way in and not trying to figure a way out. And to me, that's absolutely necessary in the midst of a pandemic with a lot of things that are against you. If you're the type of person that has the mentality to say, I'm trying to find a way in, I'm trying to find a way to get it done, as opposed to trying to find a way out, now you give yourself opportunity to play. And that's what you're seeing in baseball. That's what you're seeing in football. That's what you're seeing in basketball. There's a bunch of guys, a bunch of men and women that are trying to find a way in, find a way to get it done, try to be as safe as possible, but let's play ball. Put the ball down and let's play, man. At the end of the day, that's what we care about. That's the most important thing. Can we get a game? Can we not have to sit at the crib all day and just watch politics on TV and watch CNN and watch Fox? Can we just watch ESPN and actually enjoy it because they're covering live sports? We ain't had that in so long that we probably forgot what it's going to be like. But when it comes, when we come, you got to make sure you don't OD on it, because it's going to come a lot. It's going to come more than you would normally get. You mess around with OD on it, you might not be able to recover.
You won't end up like Heath Ledger. You might put on a few pounds or something like that, but you'll be just fine. These aren't drugs. These are healthy drugs. This is healthy stuff that we got going on. And the other thing about it, Smitty, you know how sometimes like you go see a movie or you go watch something and you're like, all right, I know this is going to be hokey. I know it's going to be unique. If they have a sequel, I'm damn sure not going to see it, but I'm going to enjoy this because it's something that like I've never seen. So movie 43 or whatever the hell it was called, that sketch movie that was just stupid, I wouldn't watch any more of that. But it was entertaining at the time. This is going to be a unique viewing experience, man. Like 15 years from now, we're going to talk about, you know, the 60-game baseball season. And Trevor Bauer, actually, on PMT, who we'll hear from a little later on in the show, he continues to troll the Astros, but he also makes some good points that I think bring perspective. But this is going to be like something that we haven't seen. And every baseball game, if you do the math, is going to count 2.7 times more than the average baseball game. So just watch every baseball game and just with that perspective, realize that every Astros game you watch is going to count 2.7 times more. Every NBA game you watch is going to be unique because there's not going to be the home court advantage in the playoffs. It's just going to be a will. It's basically going to be like it's not even a sprint because there are so many obstacles and there's so many things that can happen. It's a unique, different type of competition that we're used to in the playoff atmosphere. I think that's the other thing. Not only that sports are coming back, but as gimmicky as it is, just think how you're going to look at this 15 years from now. You're going to tell some people, Wade, like we'll be OG status by then. We're going to be damn near in our 40s or 50s, and we're going to be talking to a kid that's 20 years old or something like that. And we're going to be sitting there, we're going to be telling him, man, back in 2020, let me tell you, there was a 60-game baseball season. Football season was crazy. There were no fans.
Yeah.
And it's almost going to be like, no way, are you serious? That's crazy. Like, this is really something to just wake up and smell the coffee. That's the mood I found myself in today. There's way too many people that are defeated right now, that don't need to be. There's a lot of people that need to be defeated.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people that are getting defeated when you don't need to be. Like, it's okay to be optimistic, yet aware of everything going on in the world. It's okay to be hopeful that sports are going to return. Like, let's not make it harder on ourselves than we need to make it. Like, if you have to watch the Astros 26 times at 8:10. I'm sorry. Stay up an extra hour. You'll be okay. Like, just we don't need to make this more difficult on ourselves. We need to embrace it. We need to be optimistic about it. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. But there's no reason to be so defeated. It's been a rough year, but hopefully the best is yet to come. Hopefully the bad half is behind us.
Landry, when you talk about Major League Baseball, you look at the way that they're going to play each one of these series. Normally, your goal as a Major League Baseball team is to win each series. If you can win 2 out of 3 games every series, you're going to have a hell of a year. You're going to be in the playoffs. You'll probably win your division most likely. Well, this year, if you lose a series, that's the same thing as losing 3 straight series. Like, think about that. And if you lose 3 straight series in Major League Baseball, you're in a slump. So that means the intensity level, the importance for each particular win goes up tremendously. And that's must-see TV. It's going to make you want to watch each and every game. And so I'm all for it, man. And hey, look, the bottom line is this. What's the alternative? What would be the alternative? I was listening to Cecil and Adam Spillane talking to John McClain, and he asked John McClain, is it worth it? Is it worth it for football to be back? Bro, what do you realize what life would be like if we went through an entire fall and winter without NFL sports? I don't even want to imagine what that's like. We just lost the State Fair, Texas, the other day. I mean, the rodeo got shut down.
Shout out to the food court. $2 beers there, by the way.
I mean, come on now. Like, there's certain things in the great state of Texas that we can't let slide, and one of them is the game of football. We got to play football, and so I need it. You need it. We need it. Let's get it done. NFLPA and the NFL, I got all these negotiations that I go back and forth. At the end of the day, work it out, get it done, because we need to see the game.
And the other thing is, they want to play the game. I mean,
yeah.
You're talking about the Houston Astros. I mean, Zach Greinke and Justin Verlander yesterday are throwing bullpens. These are guys who've made $250 million in their life.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about Pat Mahomes signing for $500 million. These guys have earned it. This ain't no, like, it has to play out or they earn this much money. These are two pitchers who have earned $250 million in their life. They're preparing for a 60-game season. They know everything that's going on. They're having to get stuff stuck up their nose every damn day. They're having to get their temperature taken about 3 times when they enter the building. They're not able to dab up their fans. They can't spit on the baseball field. They can't do all this stuff. So tell me, if you don't think it's important and you're asking me if it's worth it, if you're asking Landry Locker or Wade Smith, you're on Sports Radio 610, Figgy Fig holding us down, being the best in the world at what he do. Shout out to all the loopholes. If you're asking us if it's worth it, tell me why in the hell two guys that have earned $250 million that could easily go home, chill, hang out, not do anything. Tell me why those guys think it's worth it. And then you might have your answer.
I tell you what, man, guys are putting themselves at risk, especially in the sports where they're not having bubbles. So like in football and baseball right now, there's no bubble. So every time they go into work and go home and then go into work, they're putting themselves and they're putting their family potentially at risk. But they're willing to sacrifice keeping themselves in a good position as well, as far as not going into bad places. They're sacrificing being a normal citizen being able to do the things they would normally do in order to play the game they love. And I think that's why fans truly love professional sports and the athletes that play it, because they're willing to sacrifice doing so much in order to play the game that they love. And we admire the fact that they're willing to do that and their ability to play at such a high level. There's a lot of people that watch the game and say, damn, I wish I could do that. When I watch baseball, when I watch basketball, I'm like, damn, I've never been able to do those type of things. And I'm in awe of the stuff that they're able to pull off. But then you add to it, they're like, yo, you could get sick in the middle of this.
Yeah.
You could bring it home to your family in the middle of this, and you're willing to still sacrifice that and risk that just so that you could play the game you love, and just so you can allow a lot of people to have jobs that they otherwise might not have, or allow people that are at the crib watching games to have something to take them away from a lot of the negativity that's going on in the world today. You got to appreciate that.
And I think you also got to make it clear, we appreciate the people that are doing the same thing that don't have that luxury, that don't have that luxury of having the choice to not do it. So if you're out there, whether you're paving roads like PaveTex, if you're a teacher who had to say goodbye to your students, if you're an attorney, if you're someone who had to take a pay cut, I know you don't have that luxury, but we feel you. But the one thing that we can all agree on is, my gosh, no matter what you do, no matter what you're doing out of the house, when you come home, you turn on that TV and there's an Astros or a Rockets game on, it's very, very nice. And hopefully, the millionaire athletes and the nine-to-fivers and everybody else that are, you know, taking the risk in different ways. Hopefully we can come together. We can get a little taste of what we've been without for a long, long time. Landry Locker, Wade Smith, Figgy Fig with you. Sports Radio 610. Let's look at some moolah. Deshaun Watson, what is next for Deshaun Watson when it comes to a contract? A salary cap expert, a former NFL agent, one of the best in the game, Joel Corey, is going to join us to talk about all of the financial situations in the way for Bill O'Brien and Jackie Easterby. Could J.J. Watt be getting a new contract? What about Zach Cunningham? And most importantly, what about Deshaun Watson? In the Loop continues on an optimistic Wednesday next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
I guarantee you, if the Cowboys took the Patrick Mahomes contract right now and scratched out Chiefs and put in Cowboys, scratched out Patrick Mahomes and put in Dak Prescott and put it on the table and said, here's your final offer for next Wednesday when the window closes on long-term deals for franchise tag players, Dak Prescott would say no thank you.
Oh, wow.
That's one of the craziest things I've heard. That was a wow and a damn after that. Mike Florio said yesterday that the contract Pat Mahomes got was something that Dak Prescott would say no to. I don't know that I agree with that, but I will say this as we localize it. Wade Smith, 12-year NFL vet, in for John Lopez here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. If Dak would say no, you got to think Deshaun would say no, which seems very, very strange to me, Smitty.
Well, it sounds strange to me. If Dak says no, maybe Florio is saying that because he knows his agent. His agent's trying to go for a short-term deal, but Dak Prescott is not – he doesn't warrant the type of money that Pat Mahomes is getting. So if he gets offered that contract, he better take it. Deshaun Watson, I think, might be along the same lines where it's like, hey, I don't deserve the same amount of contract that Pat Mahomes get, but I have in my own mind that I'm going to do a short-term deal, so I wouldn't take that particular deal that Mahomes took. But at the end of the day, and we'll talk to Joel Corey about it, I think Pat Mahomes' deal is going to work out better in the long term than what you might think right now based off of a lot of things I'm hearing going on between the NFL and NFLPA.
Let's go to the go-to guy on such matters. I'm not going to lie. Numbers give me a headache. That's why I cheated my way through math, and that's why I do what I do. Let's go to Joel Corey, a former agent, NFL and salary cap expert. Joel, Landry Locker, Wade Smith, thank you so much for joining us and giving us some of your time. Is that how you feel? Do you feel like the contract Pat Mahomes got wouldn't be a contract that Deshaun Watson or Dak Prescott would sign on the dotted line quickly?
Watson won't. He's looking for a 3-year extension. How do you go from a 3-year extension to 10 years? And Dak Prescott doesn't want to sign for 5 years. So how are you going to go from 5 to 10? But the flip side of that is, do teams want to commit the security that's in the Mahomes deal to other quarterbacks? Because it's not just the sheer enormity of the contract. It's the fact that it's hard to get out of the thing. And I'll give you an example of how this thing works. If you look at, for example, Mahomes' 2027 year, because this is what makes it different than your run-of-the-mill long-term deal, which deals of this length stopped in like 2004. Most of the money is in roster bonuses. In 2027, he's got 49.4 in roster bonuses. He's making 59.95. But the roster bonus becomes fully guaranteed a year early, and that happens in 2025, a year early. So that roster bonus is vesting in 2026. So you're stuck with the guy. And then that happens in the remaining contract years. The amounts aren't nearly as big in terms of roster bonuses. So do the teams want to do that with the security? If you do the conventional 10-year deal where you can get out and it's 1-year series team options after 4 or 5 years, yeah, a team would do that in a heartbeat.
But see, Joel, the way you describe that contract, where I'm hearing it, to me, that gives Pat Mahomes security because he knows if his play does fall off a little bit, it's gonna cost him tremendously a year and ahead of time just to get rid of him and let him go. And then at the same time, for the franchises, way they're going to look at it, they're going to save money over the 10-year period. To me, this deal is a win-win for both guys involved, or both parties involved.
I don't think so. I hate the cash flow in the deal. The cash flow is terrible. If you look at how the cash flow is, He's getting $6 million of new money through the time he's under contract with his rookie deal. That is pathetic. If you look at what Jared Goff got, he got $30 million to give up 4 new years over the same time frame. Carson Wentz got $29.5 million over the same time frame to give up 4 new years. He is behind where he would be if you franchised him and he went year to year. If he played it out, he's at $67 million through 2022. He's at $63 million through 2022. If you franchise him again, he's at 114, he's at 103, you give him the third franchise tag, he's at 180, he's at 140. I hate the cash flow. It's backloaded. You never want to sign a backloaded deal. I get the security. You don't crack $40 million per year until after the 6th year.
See, the problem with that line of thinking, though, is you talk about Jared Goff, you talk about Carson Wentz. Those guys ain't winning Super Bowls anytime soon. And Pat Mahomes
will.
Yeah, he
won a Super Bowl, which is why he should be in a much better position. Because they're not nearly as good, the cash flow should be much better. It shouldn't be backloaded. I completely disagree with you.
But see, that's the thing, though. Pat Mahomes is the type of guy that wants to win multiple Super Bowls, and he's got to get a guy like Chris Jones signed. He's got to get other guys on the roster. And if he just says, you know what, give me all of my money, that's fine for him, but is that fine for everybody involved? Pat Mahomes is going to get paid regardless. I mean, he is Pat Mahomes. He's the best quarterback in the league. He's going to get paid regardless. But in his mind, he's like, all right, do I want to allow my team to have flexibility so that we can continue to go to Super Bowls every year? Or do I want to just set the market and get paid like I'm supposed to get paid, putting my hands in quotations right now? Or is that the way I want to go? To me, what Pat Mahomes is saying.
Yeah, you get the nail on head there. Am I going to get paid like I'm supposed to get paid, or I'm going to do what is a modified Tom Brady?
Exactly.
Where it doesn't seem so blatant, because when Brady in 2013 and 14 started doing this, like, dude, this is just ridiculous. But he got them Super Bowls.
Exactly.
So he's doing it where it gets masked because you look at the total value of the deal and you go, wow, it's the richest contract in sports history. That is his prerogative. The agent's job is to take marching orders from the client. If that's what your client gives you, you execute it. Now, how many people do that? Drew Brees didn't start doing it until he was 37, 38. Nobody else does it. Russell Wilson ain't doing it. Ben Roethlisberger was never taking a discount. You don't see guys on a first contract take a discount for the most part. I don't think Deshaun Watson will. I don't think Dak Prescott will. I don't think anybody else is going to do that. That makes him like Brady and makes him different. I think it's going to be an anomaly, not a trend.
Now, I completely agree with that part of it. I don't think that Deshaun Watson is going to take a deal like that. I don't think Dak is going to take a deal like that. He doesn't deserve a deal like that. That was a hypothetical that we put out there. He doesn't deserve a deal like that because he's not that caliber
that too,
quarterback.
That too.
But, and that plays into it. But that's the thing. Tom Brady is Tom Brady because he chose to take deals like that. The way the NFL is set up and the way the salary cap is set up, you can't be the greatest of all time and be the most paid, the highest paid of all time, and get what you're just due. That's just the way. That's the way you got to play within these parameters. Pat Mahomes actually has the physical skill set to put it on the table and to be a guy that's on Tom Brady's level. But he's also got to do contracts that way because it's the ultimate team game. So I respect what Pat did, and I feel like it's a win-win for both teams because he's looking to be the GOAT, and you can't be the GOAT if you're getting paid the most. And that's tough for me to say because I'm a player and I always want to see guys get paid, but Pat Mahomes is going to get paid regardless. But I completely agree with you that Dak is not going to take a deal like that, or he's not going to get a deal like that. Why, if I'm the Cowboys, would I want to offer a deal like that to Dak? I'm not completely sold on Dak to that level to where I would be in those situations like you described in 2026 and 2027 where I got $60 million on the line towards Dak Prescott. Like, you're going to be looking at yourself like you're crazy.
No, that's why I don't think you do it for Lamar Jackson either, because he's a running quarterback, and I don't want to have all these guarantees for a guy that's at a higher risk of getting injured because he runs so much. So I think you're going to see – you have to be the right guy for this concept to even work, and there aren't a lot of guys who would work for it. Plus, in terms of an overall average, this thing, almost 30% from Russell Wilson. Where I think you're going to see the guys try to make headway on is the average. But if I'm the team, I'm looking at, okay, how's this deal structured in terms of how it's backloaded? And I want to try to keep the your average in line with where Mahomes is through the early parts of the deal. So that's where it's going to be interesting to see how these things work out.
This is what I love right here, Joel. We appreciate it, man. I know you're up against it. I love the agent-player perspective right there. You're the best at what you do. Before you get out of here, just real quick, what kind of numbers are we looking at in a 3-year deal with Deshaun Watson?
Well, the highest three-year new year average is $38 million. That's Russell Wilson. Mahomes is $37.95 million. But if you go year-to-year on the franchise tag, you're over $40 million. So it's going to be somewhere probably in that range. Also, given the fact that they did a huge deal with Laremy Tunsil, reset the tackle market. If I'm Deshaun Watson, I'm holding that against the Texans.
Yeah, you're foaming at the mouth if you're negotiating with Bill O'Brien right now, basically, right?
Yeah, it would seem to be that way.
Joel, we appreciate you, man. Thank you so much, man. You always give us some great information.
Sure. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, Joel Corey right there, former agent, CBS. Sometimes you just got to get the popcorn and watch the discussion happen. And I was enjoying that back and forth. Because it is interesting because the agent wants the player to maximize his earning potential.
Yeah.
But the player, a lot of guys who've maximized their earning potential, if they could do it over again, they look back and say, damn, if I would have taken less money, I would have a couple more rings. Because a lot of times the difference between $100 million and $140 million, some athletes would trade that $40 million for a Super Bowl ring. It's just the reality of the situation.
Yeah, and the quarterback is the one unique position on the team that has that ability to determine the outlook of the entire franchise based off of what they're willing to take or not take. And so, like any other position, I would want them to go out there and get it because those guys are not going to break the bank to the point that it's going to severely handcuff a team. But if the way that Pat Mahomes structured his contract, it's gonna make the Kansas City Chiefs a viable option for the next 5-6 years. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And so because of that, their window has just been extended because Pat Mahomes took a deal that's gonna allow them to be flexible. I gotta respect that. And Pat Mahomes is Pat Mahomes. He's gonna get paid regardless.
And also the other thing about this, I think, is the Patriots are the Patriots. When you say Tom Brady's Tom Brady, the Patriots are the Patriots. They're cold hearted.
Yeah.
But I don't know that the Chiefs are just going to all of a sudden cut off the throat of Pat Mahomes if he suffers a couple injuries. I think a lot of organizations will remember when you do stuff like this for them.
And another thing, when I was going back and forth with Joel, as an agent, you want your agent to have that mentality. I'm trying to get you as much as I can when I can because you don't know if you ever get the opportunity again. That's how you want your agent to function. But at the end of the day, the agent works for you. And the agent works for Pat Mahomes. If Pat Mahomes says, no, let's try to figure out some way that we can make this palatable for the organization so we can continue to win Super Bowl after Super Bowl after Super Bowl, and that's what you saw is a $500 million contract, but there's not a lot of cash flow on the front end.
There we go. Wade Smith, Landry Locker, In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. We got some interesting stuff here. Did DeAndre Hopkins take a shot at the Texans, or was he also poking fun at himself? And a member of Deshaun Watson's camp, he hints that the departure of DeAndre Hopkins, you're going to throw up in your mouth, Wade, might actually help Deshaun moving forward. You're not going to believe what one of the most prominent members of Deshaun's camp had to say. Keep it locked. In the Loop continues next.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It, presented by Westside Lexus. You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
When you find out that they used a third-round selection on Kahale Waring, what kind of impact does that have on you? Does that make you increase the intensity in the offseason? Does that have any impact on you at all?
Yeah, I mean, it made me go harder. Like you said, it increased my intensity. You know, I just really wanted to stand out. Kahale, I love the kid to death, you know what I'm saying? I give him all my tactics, and I try to teach him as well as Phil. You know, all of us chime in and try to help him out. You know, me, it really just, you know, motivated me. You know, I have a little girl, and, you know, I really want to, you know, show my playmaking ability.
Texans tight end Jordan Akins talking about the Texans selecting Kahale Waring in the third round last year. Said it motivated him. Had two touchdowns, didn't have any the previous year, so the motivation appears to have paid off. But what about the position moving forward? Part three of the In the Loop Texans position series coming up at 11 with Landry Locker and Wade Smith. We talked about the receivers yesterday. We've talked about Deshaun Watson. We've talked about the next step for Deshaun Watson in this organization, Smitty. Here's his quarterback coach, Deshaun's quarterback coach, Quincy Avery, on the Ryan Russillo podcast with the Ringer, talking about, and stay tuned because he's going to say something interesting. I promise you. This is going to be a strong nug coming up. But here's him talking about what Deshaun needs to improve in year four to take that next step and get on the Pat Mahomes, Lamar Jackson level.
the thing that I think Deshaun's going to do to take his game to the next level is just be more consistent in a lot of the little plays. Like, you'll see some of the misses, but a lot of times what happened was he would get there late or wasn't probably as prepared as he could have been in terms of making the decision.
Preparation, progression, getting rid of the rock quicker. No disagreements here, right, Wade?
Yeah, no question about it. And look, that's absolutely paramount in this offense. In this offense, you have to be a quick decision maker. You have to know where you're going to go with the ball as soon as the ball is snapped, so they can get it out quick and get guys and throw guys open. And so that's the big problem that you have with people talk about the offensive line for the Houston Texans, is that they give up so many sacks. Well, a lot of those sacks, a significant amount of those sacks, are because Deshaun Watson didn't get the ball out on time.
Such and if he's holding on to the apologist. Ball,
it's not an apologist. I'm just
such
a realist.
An O-line apologist.
I'm just a realist. When the O-line messes up, I'm gonna let them know, and they mess up their fair share, and they've gotten better. But hey, if you're holding the ball for X amount of time and you don't get rid of it when you're supposed to, that's on you. It's just like a running back that goes into the wrong hole. If you go into the wrong hole, hey, you better make it work, because it ain't on us. We got to do our job. You got to do yours. And that's part of Deshaun Watson's progression, is to be quicker with his decisions. And once he does that, and as he continues to do that and gets better at that, it's going to pay dividends for the entire offense.
Now, the question is, and I hope you're sitting down for this, there's a lot of loopholes driving around right now that might drive off the damn street when they hear what I'm about to play for them. This is Quincy Avery on the Ringer. Now, you just told us what Deshaun needs to work on. I agree. Bill O'Brien agrees. Hell, Deshaun agrees. Wade Smith agrees. But why are these decisions taking as long as they are? What is the potential reason why? You better get loose, Wade.
I'm ready for this. I have a feeling where this is going to go. I haven't heard this audio.
Is Deshaun Watson holding the ball so long and being late? Here's his quarterback coach talking about one of the reasons that may happen.
But it's really hard when you have a guy like Hopkins. Like, you want to stay on that a lot longer than you should. And then you end up late to everything else. So losing one of the best receivers is also going to add a unique dynamic in terms of him being able to just go through his progressions and just being more disciplined in those sort of things.
Interesting. Interesting. So that's where the narrative came from. It came from Quincy Avery and guys like that are saying, because Hop is so good.
It might have been sold. Man, that's just to me, like, that is so ass backwards. Like, if that's true, that's on the quarterback, man. That's not on Nuke. Like, you can't make the excuse that a guy's too good, so that's preventing you from doing what other guys are doing. Like Drew Brees threw the ball to Michael Thomas a lot last year, but he's still spreading the rock out. Like, when I hear that I don't like that. Maybe it's hindsight, where you're trying to think positive and you're trying to think about taking the next step and you're trying to maybe justify your flaws of past. But when you say that, Wade, you're a former player. I can see you kind of cringing. It just kind of rubs me the wrong way. I don't like hearing that.
Yeah, it sounds like an excuse. I look at it like this, man. Right now, what you're telling me, Quincy Avery, is this. Because DeAndre Hopkins was so good, Deshaun Watson stayed on him longer than he should have, and because of that, he couldn't find the other guys that were open. And when I watched the film, when I watched the games, I would see other guys not open, and so Deshaun would throw the ball to D-Hop. I saw a lot of that. I didn't see very often where he's looking at DeAndre Hopkins, and then other guys are running open, and then he looks back late, and then all of a sudden, I can't get the ball to him. I didn't really see that too much. Now, I guess what the thought is that because Hop is no longer there, he has nobody that he really can trust and depend on. He's got to completely buy in and be sold on the system, and so he's going to be forced to go through his progressions, because maybe DeAndre Hopkins was that good of a player that Deshaun said, you know what, I know the system says to do X, Y, and Z, but I'm throwing it to D, and that's what I'm going to do 10 times out of 10. And maybe that works out. That's hard for me to believe.
I want to meet Quincy in the middle, because Quincy's one of the most respected quarterback coaches there are. And I hope he's right. Like, I hope Deshaun Watson plays his best ball in year four. I want to meet him in the middle here. I don't want to hold it against DeAndre Hopkins that he was so damn good, but maybe with Will Fuller out, maybe the guys besides DeAndre Hopkins just weren't good enough to where they weren't worth looking at. Maybe that's what you can sell me on. But if you're looking at Nuke too long, that's you. That's not Nuke. That's you. You can still, there's been a lot of quarterbacks that have had damn good receivers over the course of time, and they've gone through their progressions. They've gotten rid of the rock. It could be systematic, but there's way too many examples of quarterbacks with guys in the same caliber as DeAndre Hopkins getting rid of it. Maybe it's optimism moving forward. Maybe it's somewhat of a little bit of an excuse. Yeah. Maybe it's about the guys 2 through 5 down on the depth chart. It just kind of hurts me to hear that.
Yeah, I think I would want to have a conversation with Quincy Avery, like, so we could go back and forth and I can get the complete context of what he was talking about. Because, like I said, when I hear that, it sounds like an excuse. And you don't want excuses being the prevailing thought of what goes down when you're the quarterback of an NFL franchise. I want the best guys around me I can possibly have, and I'm going to work within the system. But if I feel like the system is not being productive, or I don't have enough guys within the system to fully buy into what the system says it's got to be, I'm gonna try. You think I understand this? Deshaun Watson is trying to win ball games. He's trying to win ball games.
That's all he wants to
He's
do.
Not trying to make sure I stay within the system. He's trying to win ball games. If he doesn't have enough trust in the other guys, and a lot of times you could tell he didn't, because when Will Fuller was not there, who did you have left? You were throwing out there Kiki, who was missing, not running the correct routes. You had DeAndre Carter. That was, you know, he's not a guy that you just say is a dependable receiver that you're going to count on in clutch time. And I'm trying to remember, who was the other receiver they had that I don't even think he's
Vincent
here anymore?
Smith.
Vincent Smith. That was the guy, he's in New York now. Like, if you have these guys on your roster and then you have DeAndre Hopkins and you're trying to win, you're going to throw the ball to the guy that's going to give you the best chance to win. And so I just, I don't like the sound of that, Quincy Avery. I would love to have a discussion about it.
The other thing is this. These guys better be damn good. I mean, like, Brandon Cooks, we've seen him do some good things.
He's good, though, now. Don't get it twisted.
Well,
he's good.
He's good. He's good. He's also, last year, had trouble staying on the field. We'll see what happens. And Will Fuller's had trouble staying on the field. Randall Cobb, you paid him more than you usually would. Kenny Stills had some good moments last year. If you're going to, if it's going to work, these guys better be pretty damn good. What about the loss that we keep having to remember? DeAndre Hopkins brought it up yesterday on Twitter. Poking fun at the Texans. Had a lot of Texans fans upset when he reacted to the Pat Mahomes contract. I got a lot of text messages from angry loophole Texans fans when Nuke Hopkins reacted to Pat Mahomes' contract. Here is what Nuke Hopkins had to say. Quotes. And focus on the numbers here. Keep in mind the Texans blew a 24-0 lead when they lost to the Chiefs. 24 reasons why Mahomes deserves that. 0 doubts he will win more Super Bowls. Did Nuke Hopkins take a shot at the Texans? I look at it as he's kind of taking a shot at himself. I think if you talk to this Talk to Nuke about this game, I think it hurts him just as much. You're shaking your head, though, Smitty.
I don't think it's a shot at himself. I don't think it's a shot at the Texans. I think it's a direct shot at Bill O'Brien, like straight up and down. I think that is his way of – because you got to understand that being up 24-0, I think there was decisions that were made in that game that a lot of players on that roster did not agree with, and they
like
feel like those
the
are
field
the reasons.
Goal up 21-0. Yeah.
We don't have to rehash it. Everybody here listening knows the decisions that were made, but I feel like – This is DeAndre Hopkins' way of taking a shot at Bill O'Brien, and the fact of the matter that they were up 24-0 and they made some bad decisions that turned the momentum and it got it to a point to where they end up losing the game. I think it was, what, 51-31, something stupid like
that?
Like,
51-7 run to end it.
Yeah, to me, this was a direct shot at Bill O'Brien. And, you know, no one might ever admit that, but to me, that's when I hear that, when I read that, that was the first thing I thought of. That's a shot at Bill O'Brien. Because Hop ain't the type of dude to take a shot at his former teammates. He ain't the type of dude that'll take a shot at just the Texans in general. He's going to take a shot at the guy that he didn't get along with, the guy that he didn't have a relationship with, the guy that you've seen there's some, I mean, the guy that traded him away. You know what I mean? So to me, that was a shot at Bill O'Brien. Very interesting.
That's how you looked at it.
That's what I saw.
All right.
That's what I see.
All right. That's what you see. I don't know. Look, I think Nuke, whether he wants to admit it or not, is kind of hurt by the way things went down.
Yeah.
I think he's kind of hurt by the way things went down. So I think we'll see shots here or there from DeAndre. I just think this was more about respect to Pat Mahomes. I would love for you to be right. It would be entertaining. I mean, I'm still pissed at O'Brien for that. I mean, I think that was one of the worst coaching displays that I've seen in a very long time. I really, going back to that Chiefs game, that was some of the worst coaching I've seen. I mean, you were very good on fourth down. Hell, you went for it on fourth down to win in Kansas City a couple months before that game. You're up 21-0. It's fourth and one. You decide to kick the field goal. I kind of justified it at the time and said, okay, I can see where your mind's at.
Yeah.
But then 5 minutes later, you freaking fake a punt on fourth and four. See? It still stings. Like, it's ass backwards. There's no method to the madness of that game. I'm not going to get over it. You faked a punt after you. And then your justification for faking the punt, Bill, was we thought we needed a lot of points. You thought you needed a lot of points? Then why not go for it on fourth and one? When Chris Jones is out, you have this offensive line that you've invested all this in, and you can just hand the rock to Carlos Hyde, and you can move the chains, and maybe you can go up 28-0 instead of 24-0. And then you don't fake the punt. They don't get the rock there. By the way, the offense disappeared too. Offense gets a free pass for that game. I know the defense.
No, they don't. No, they do not. They better not.
The offense disappeared. You got the ball inside the 20 one time on the Tyreek Hill fumble.
Yeah.
Then you scored on a punt block touchdown. And then after you had that 24, you disappeared.
Listen.
It was done.
You lose a 24-point lead, everybody gets the blame. All y'all. All y'all. I'm talking about the defense, the offense, the special teams, the staff, the support staff, everybody involved in it. That was wearing it was partly my fault too, as a legend of the team. It's all of our faults. You lose a 24-point lead that's gonna send you to the AFC Championship game, to where you're gonna be at home against the Tennessee Titans, the Tennessee Frightens.
The Oilers.
Come on, bro.
The old Oilers.
Why are we talking about this? I'm getting upset.
Well,
I'm getting mad, man.
But
that lets you know that Hop, he still feels that.
He still feels it.
I mean, and that's one of those things that if I feel it, you know damn well they feel it.
What are you watching for? If you don't feel that, then what do you want? If you want to move past that, what are you doing? Like, what are you investing? How much emotion are you investing? Speaking of that, 64 days, uh-oh, Texans will return to the scene of the crime. What is Deshaun Watson, along with his quarterback coach Quincy Avery, what are they doing to maybe move the rock a little bit better against those damn Kansas City Chiefs? Here's more from QA on the Ryan Russillo podcast.
Now it's like, oh, when the Chiefs are going to rotate that safety, he's down in the box, but he still rotates and he's going to play cover two, and they're going to rotate Tyrann Mathieu from up high in a two safety look coming down in the hole. Like, how are we prepared for that? What are the tips and tricks that we're seeing so that when they do those things, we're ultra locked in? We know that this is too high look. We're going to read left to right, you know, working through those progressions.
Man, I tell you what, I love Quincy. I think he deserves every penny. I think he does a good job with Deshaun, with the stuff. That stuff Bill O'Brien should have known. That shouldn't be something that shouldn't even – Quincy shouldn't even have to worry about all that. Like, Tyrann Mathieu is going to come in the box and then go into cover two. I'm a jamoke who watches limited film, and I could have told you that, Smitty. I could have told you that myself.
Listen, Quincy Avery's job is to continue to get repetitions and give repetitions to DeAndre, to Deshaun Watson, and give him the best information he can to help him succeed. And so some of the things he should be reiterating, that what he's already learned from Bill O'Brien and what he's already doing over at the facility. So I can't fault him for that. But if you're telling me you didn't know these things at that time, that's a problem. And so you're going to have to progress as a quarterback if those are some of the things that you weren't aware of or that you weren't told going into the ball game. And so you're going to have to get a lot of progression, apparently, just listening to Quincy Avery, based off of what happened last year, as far as him being a cerebral quarterback and reading defenses at a level that's necessary in this offense. Because in a lot of other offenses, you don't have to be as cerebral to be successful. And so Deshaun Watson is having to step his game up in that manner in order for the offense to be what it basically is promised to be.
But guess what? It's going to be easier now that Nuke's gone. Just kidding.
I mean, that's the word on the street.
That's the word on the street.
Right. Hey, hop gone, so the offense finna take off. I mean, I think that's a bass-ackward way of looking at it. That's a bass-ackward way of approaching it, but that's what they rocking with.
It is what it is. Landry Locker, Wade Smith in for John Lopez. Figgy Fig here on Sports Radio 610. Now, we've talked about the receivers. Could the tight ends help? Could the tight ends emerging in 2020 be the key for Deshaun Watson taking that next step? Part three of the In the Loop position series, the tight ends next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.